Now, our lesson for today will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 18. We're going to read the first 17 verses of this chapter and see what we can learn regarding Paul's visit to the city of Corinth and what happened there. Now, it becomes very important because as you continue reading through your New Testament, you discover that at a later date, Paul wrote letters to this church. How many letters he actually wrote, we don't know. But we do know this, that two of them have been preserved for us, commonly referred to as the first epistle to the Corinthians and then the second epistle to the Corinthians. The first epistle is quite a lengthy epistle, taking up 16 chapters. The second epistle takes up 13 chapters. So you'll discover this then, that what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth fits in and takes up quite a lengthy portion of what is commonly referred to as the doctrinal section of the New Testament. That being so then, it becomes us to learn as much as we can regarding the establishing of the church at Corinth, how that took place, and the circumstances under which Paul found himself in Corinth. Reading then from Acts chapter 18. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and they came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Here then we have the authentic record of Paul arriving at the great city of Corinth. Remember, the city of Corinth at that time was a cosmopolitan city. It was a seaport and a great centre for commerce. Not only so, but it was a great athletic city. Most people know that, even today, those that have studied the Olympic Games, that the Corinthian Games perhaps were the forerunners of our present-day Olympics. So you begin to sum up the city into which Paul ventured. First of all, then, the people would be busy with their commercial duties, buying and selling. Being a seaport, there was loading and unloading. With all the different peoples coming in to that great city of Corinth. But there's something else about Corinth. It was quite a wicked city. It was a city given to idolatry to a great extent. There were idol temples there. You learn that by reading Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And no doubt with their great idolatry and their idol temples, it's obvious there was a great amount of immorality. You'll see then how the people of Corinth lived. But now, Paul goes into that city, and he went there after having preached in the great city of Athens. Now the two cities perhaps were near enough, but they were different in their environments. And Paul reaches the city of Corinth, and he had a determination. His determination was that if he had the opportunity in Corinth, he was going to preach nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, when he arrived in Corinth, he did find that there was a Jewish synagogue, and then he was able to preach to the Jews. However, as we have read these verses, I want you to notice three things. First of all, Paul is encouraged. The second thing we want to note is this, that his preaching was very effective. Then the third thing we must note, because it comes up again and again in the Acts of the Apostles, persecution erupted against the preachers of the gospel. Paul then is encouraged. You know, the best of people are liable to become discouraged. You know that. Even men who get into high positions in government, and everything from the outside seems to be going all right with them, they've made it in life. I wonder if we were permitted to enter into their private room with them and sit down and discuss things as they really are. I'm sure of this, we would find these men at times very much discouraged. I've often wondered about the old saying about the head that wears the crown. Sometimes the head that wears the crown doesn't lie very easily on the pillow. Well, likewise, we could bring it into more modern terms. The man who sits in the seat of authority. Perhaps he may be called the Prime Minister in some countries. He may be called the President in other countries. Or he may be called the Dictator. Whatever title he may take, he's the man in authority. And I believe these men have times of discouragement. Some days are hours when they're upset, not knowing which way to turn. Well, at our very best, the very best of men are only men. Then remember this, even Paul was a man of like passions such as we are. And Paul had had his discouragements. Remember now, we'll take you back in thought to what we learned in chapter 16. In that chapter, they had a direct call to come over to Macedonia. It was Paul's first intentions to spend his time preaching in Asia Minor, the part of the world that today we call Turkey. But then every door got closed against him there, and God was working to bring Paul in another direction. It was God who directed them by the Holy Spirit to come over into Europe. So they landed in Macedonia. But while they are obedient to the call of God, remember this, the first city where they set up camp, so to speak, and began to preach was the city of Philippi. And while there, you know what happened? Cast into prison, beaten with many stripes of the Roman birch, an earthquake at night, and so on. And then the rulers of the city asking them to leave the city. So they left there as men who had been put in prison and maltreated for preaching the gospel. They went on from there and walked about 100 miles as to the city of Thessalonica. There again there was an uproar, and they were hounded out of the city, persecuted. And then again in Berea. Now, with it all, correspondingly, they had some little measure of encouragement, because they saw in Philippi a group of people converted and set up as a local church. Then again the same thing happened in Thessalonica. At Berea they left a group of people who were very noble and searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Then Paul comes away down to the south, and he goes to Athens, the great city of learning, and found the people there given over to idolatry. He said they were far too superstitious, too religious, and yet they didn't have the reality of it. He comes on now to Corinth. You can see how the man was discouraged. When they left the little town, the seaport town of Troas, to come over into Europe, there were four of them. Now, if four men are working together, they are able, no doubt, to encourage one another. But he had to leave Dr. Luke at Philippi, and then he had to leave Timothy and Silas up there at Thessalonica and Berea. He finds himself left alone at Athens. While he's waiting for them there, he made that great sermon at the great place called Mars Hill in Athens. But there's no indication that any church was ever started there, any Christian church. We have no record of it. So he comes on to the great city of Corinth, and I suggest to you he was discouraged. But then when a man is discouraged, God knows how to move in his life and bring him encouragement. You see, Paul was no exception to this. As I have indicated, he's a man like passions such as we are, and he needed to be encouraged. Notice some of the things that encouraged him when he came from Athens to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila. The man had been born in Pontus, and he had gone to Italy, and he had been chased out of Italy because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. So this man and his wife, they left Rome and they came to Corinth. Now this Jew called Aquila and his wife Priscilla had a certain kind of commercial trade that they followed. They were busy on the craft of tent making. And so therefore that must have been quite a lucrative kind of job in these days, good business. And Paul, being of the same craft, joined himself to them. That brought him quite a lot of encouragement. He was able now to preach during the day and work at night, or work during the day and preach at night, and therefore maintain himself in this large city of Corinth he was visiting. Now some may ask the question, how could Paul be of that same craft? How could he go and work at this? Wasn't he a student? Wasn't he a scholar of languages? Didn't he leave his home in Tarsus go down to Jerusalem to be educated at the feet of the greatest teacher of that day, Gamaliel? Perfectly true. But there's something else that you should bear in mind. Jewish boys of that day, brought up in good Orthodox homes, were not allowed to waste their time. The fact of the matter is that over against their studies, that is, if they were studying law or studying languages or whatever their profession might be that they're going to follow, they had also to learn how to work with their hands. Now, there's nothing wrong in a man learning how to use his hands. And so Paul was able, as a young man, to learn this, that he was able to work with his hands, and over above his professional training, he also had to learn how to do some kind of work with his hands, and so he learned how to work at tent making. So here's one place in his life where it stood him in good stead. He gets to Corinth, he's got to have a place to live, he's got to be able to pay his way, and so he goes in with this Jew called Aquila and with his wife Priscilla, and he seems to fit in perfectly with them, and this would bring him a great amount of encouragement. Meeting people like himself who had also been persecuted, they had to leave Rome, he had to leave other cities, and now God, by his mercy and in his grace, brings them together down there at Corinth. But now, over and above that, there was something else that encouraged him, because while he was there, we find this, that he began to preach. But then, one day, verse 5 says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Here now he's encouraged by the coming of his two partners. Oh, they were younger men than him, perfectly true. But they had been working as a team when they came into Europe. And so therefore, having been left alone was very discouraging. But now his two companions have come, and when they arrived, I suggest to you, it brought him a great amount of encouragement. Now, notice how he can be encouraged then. Circumstances so worked in his favour that he found a place to live, something to do, whereby he could pay for his lodging, so to speak, and be able to earn his livelihood. Nothing wrong with that. That encouraged him. Over and above that, there's encouragement from those who are of a kindred spirit, Timothy and Silas. May I suggest to all my listeners today, we also can be encouraged when circumstances are so arranged that we find things are working for our benefit. Over and above that, we can be encouraged by the fellowship of those who are of a kindred spirit. Neighbors can encourage neighbors. Friends can encourage friends. Christians can encourage other Christians, and that's exactly what we ought to be doing. We should be ready to encourage one another. Now then, there's a third thing that brings him encouragement. Because when you come to verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Then he is greatly encouraged by the Lord. You'll see, the Lord knows exactly how to do it. Here then was encouragement by circumstances to offset the discouragement that he had received through other circumstances. Then again, there's encouragement from those who are joined with him and have a kindred spirit with him. That offsets those who discouraged him by their opposition. Then again, here is great encouragement from the message from the Lord. Now you and I today can get encouragement from the Lord's message as well. perhaps in a slightly different form from that of Paul, but here we have the Word of God. We can turn to the Holy Scriptures, and we can hear what the Lord has to say to us through the written Word, and that will bring great encouragement to God's people. Now, his preaching is effective. Take note of the methods he employed in order to reach the people. There's the message he preached, first of all to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. But he preached that Christ was crucified. He preached this to the rich and the poor. Religious and heathen were reached at Corinth. You see, first of all, he went into the synagogue. He was able to do this. Verse 4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, when his companions arrived, it encouraged him more and more, as we have indicated. And so he was ready, he was pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, whether that appeals to Gentiles today or not, I don't know, but they ought to understand this. The Jews believed that there was a man who was called Jesus. They couldn't deny it. He was a historical character. But they did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. You see, the Christ means the Messiah. But Paul went in amongst them, and he testified to them that this Jesus was the Christ, and they didn't accept it. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So you find that Paul here preaches to the Jews, then he goes to the Gentiles. Notice again his method. He went to the Jews first, he went to reach his own people, then he goes to the Gentiles. He preaches Christ. He preaches Christ crucified. He tells us so in his epistles that he wrote to this church. For I determined to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now we learn from the letters that he wrote to them that in the church at Corinth there were rich people and there were poor people. In fact, that became one of the difficulties in the church at Corinth. The rich somehow or another were keeping themselves by their own group and perhaps despising the poor. At any rate, there was both rich and poor, so he must have preached to rich and poor alike. Then there was other people who had been very religious, and he reached them. Then there was a great number of heathen people, idolaters, and he reached them. You see, he was not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believed. And so therefore, he was a man able to reach them with the gospel. But persecution again erupted. The concerted protest by the Jews to have Paul condemned. Then there's one man here who was both careless or carefree. That's the attitude of Gallio the deputy. The consequences of this persecution on Sosthenes by Jews, Romans, and Greeks. They were all involved in persecuting those that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it strange that he was a man sitting, as it were, on the judgment seat, professing to be a lawyer, professing to be a judge, professing to represent the powers that be, and he cared for none of these things. A careless kind of man. I want to ask each listener today, where do you stand? Are you careless about spiritual matters? Are you carefree about these things and say, oh, I'll attend to them someday? My friend, be careful. That someday may be too late.